It's time for The Citizen Lobbyist, a discussion of local, borough, and state politics featuring Terry Snyder and Mike Malefsky.
Citizen Lobbyist.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I am doing quite well today. What a gorgeous day it is.
Oh, boy, well, we do one.
Yes, but I woke up this morning and looked out, and I said, there's been a change. Somehow what happened, we switched from being a definitely kind of a spring-like, kind of weak sun to a glorious sun, maybe the green of the leaves and everything combined. But I said, we've made a transition. So felt good this morning.
Yeah, let's hope it sticks around. Those farmers need some sun on all those fresh vegetables.
Right, because this has been, as people have been saying, this has been actually a pretty cool start, a normal cool start to the growing season here in Alaska. We've had a few extraordinary years, and that's the difference. But if you average it out over the past 15, 20, 30 years, this was more normal. Well, you're back. You were away. You were doing some traveling before.
Before we start, I was in Boise.
Okay.
And I had not been to Boise, Mike, and we'll have to chat about that. I was pleasantly surprised to go to Boise. It is a really great walkable city. They've probably one of the top 10 cleanest cities I've been to in the state. Immensely clean, very walkable. Airport is closed. Capitol is closed to downtown. They've really got it going on there. And they're growing by leaps and bounds. They're a little smaller than Anchorage, about 227,000 people. But all in all, I think, you know, it's a really booming economy for them right now. They're getting into the tech business a pretty big time, and pretty conservative area. But they don't mind spending money on things that enhance their downtown and make it more livable, age-friendly. And, I encourage people to put it on their list to visit.
Okay.
And that perhaps Palmer can use it, some of the lessons learned there, to build on it, because I think you could do a whole lot worse than looking like downtown Boise.
Very good. Well, thank you. Well, while you were gone, people were still meeting and doing things. And I think from the top level at the state level in Juneau, of course, the legislature finished its activities, completed business, and people have come home or gone home. Now that you're back, any comments that you'd like to make about the legislative session as it finished up?
Yeah, you're probably looking at me for talking about SB 63, the smoke-free workplace.
Oh, you could do that.
Smoke-free workplace bill that I worked on for, I think, 5 years, Mike. That was a long piece of legislation, and it was held up more recently in one committee, as happens. But this one got held up in one committee for a couple of sessions. Most recently, it was caught in the Rules Committee by a representative, Gabrielle Ledeau, who comes from Anchorage. She did not like the bill, really anything about the bill, even though it really wasn't about smokers. It was about protecting people from the known hazards of secondhand smoke and asking them just to take it out of the workplace. She put in all kinds of things in it, like trying to exclude electronic cigarettes, even though the science is not even close to clear on that. Marijuana in the working place, she wanted that included to be okay. Those were taken out by the House. Before that happened, she was able to put a local opt-out in it, which is a little troubling, although, you know, time will tell if any city actually opts into having smoke in their workplaces. But it'll certainly be something to keep an eye on. But what it really does is bring the whole state in alignment to basically what Palmer has been doing for the last 3 years now, which has been wildly successful, and that is protecting workers from smoke in their workplaces and public places. It pretty much emulates the Palmer bill with a few exceptions. So that will kick in January. And so the whole state, the unincorporated areas that didn't have the power pass legislation like Palmer or have a voters initiative like Palmer, should I say, or other cities that were already covered by it because they were able to have those health powers. The whole state will be covered by it now. So to me, that was flagship.
Right. Place. So just a quick question about that, though. As you were talking, I realized you mentioned that there have been a number of places that have already acted, Palmer among them. And not every city has exactly the same arrangement. So what does this state piece do to...
Well, state law sets the floor, so to speak. And so like Anchorage was not previously protected from electronic cigarette smoke in the workplace, it now will fall under that.
Okay.
So that was something that was a great benefit to Anchorage not to have to go back and fight that battle because, you know, the tobacco lobbyists are very powerful. They were very successful in keeping this bill down, and they like to give candidates money and keep legislation that can provide better health for people locked up sometimes, and that's what happened here. So it will benefit those cities that don't have those pieces in place, and marijuana as well. So,
are there any cities you're aware of that have a stronger legislation than that's just been passed by the state?
I would say Palmer does, because Palmer doesn't include an opt-out, and they can have stronger regulation. They just can't have less regulation.
Got it.
So Palmer, it was the whole bill was sort of, Palmer was the last city to become passed. It was a voter initiative that was passed for the smoke-free workplace bill. And so they were sort of the bill that started out in committee 5 years ago. So their fishing boats are excluded. There are some exclusions that really don't really apply to the Palmer area.
Okay.
So I think we're pretty good to go.
And, of course, the Metsu Borough doesn't have to get involved in doing the legislation either.
Although they did pass a resolution of support a couple of years ago for it, and many businesses, there were over 1,000 resolutions of support, many from businesses that weren't inside incorporated areas that were asking for the protection, including one that comes to mind out in Sutton. That was a bar and restaurant in Sutton.
Okay. Well, there we go. That's very...
Yeah, so that was successful. And not to downplay any other piece of legislation that was really good, they got on a little more solid ground fiscally. They kind of kicked the ball down the road, but they at least agreed to taking some money out of the earnings of the PFD to run government a little bit. That's going to be a moving target, much talked about during the campaign. I was happy to see them pass a senior benefits bill, but organization I work with, AARP, was very diligent about and it actually refunds some cuts that were made in 2016 to lower earning seniors, a little bit more money for them, and also gave it stability for 6 years. There's no sunset on it, so that doesn't have to be battled out every year. So there were some pretty good pieces of legislation, but boy, was it a long session, Mike.
Long, but shorter than one that would
last
have,
year.
Yes, the special sessions that continue into the summer.
It's unlikely that they will have any more. You know, legislators aren't allowed to campaign when they're in session, and there is a primary coming up in August. So I would not think there would be any special sessions, at least between now and August. Doubtful unless some emergency comes up that we'll have one this year, but you never know, Mike.
And wasn't there some action around payment to legislators if the proposal to stop payment if they didn't do their work in a certain time?
The per diem. Yeah, that's a ballot initiative, I think, and I'm not sure where that sits. I need to get a little caught up on that. I was keenly watching a couple of bills, and some had, you know, at the rush at the end, if you watched any gavel to gavel, there were so many bills passed at the very end.
Right.
It was hard to keep track. And those bills are all amended. And normally, if they're held up that long, and then they have to go for concurrence to the other body sometimes. So when it all shakes out, it is a little hard to, you have to really sit down and read what they've done once. And the governor still needs to sign a lot of bills.
Sure.
It's not really done until the governor signs them.
Well, the good news is that that now that the legislators have left Juneau, they've come home, and they're going to be this year far more available, not to say they have not been available, but far more available because of the campaign trail they're going to be on, which seems to wind past anyone's door. So that if you have a question, if you want to make a comment to them, you want to look into one of these bills and see where they stood and what they're going to do next, listeners have this grand opportunity to engage with legislators here.
Yeah, they've made some small, and actually I was glad to see, and I should mention, a bill that Representative Ivy Sponholz and actually Senator Giesel co-sponsored about some healthcare transparency. And it's a little disappointing that not more got done on healthcare. They got wrapped on the wheel around so many other things, but at least that was one bill that, and we'll talk about that at some point, Mike, but I think, you know, at least they made those little pieces. So I think as it all comes and the governor starts signing those bills, we'll have a better feeling for what actually did come down during the session. And they won't be shy at all, as you say, Mike, about boasting about their victories. You'll hear a lot about that. But this is really the time for voters to get engaged and actually go to forums and ask people what their plans are. All of the legislators that have been talking for many years about more cuts, more cuts, more cuts. What is your plan? What is your plan instead of all these generalities? So we'll see how it goes. It's going to be interesting, Mike, and fast and furious.
Yep. Okay. Well, while you were gone and while the legislature was finishing up, there was continuing action and activity here in the Valley. And of course, the most recent was Tuesday night's meeting of the Palmer City Council. We streamed that meeting live with both audio and also with video. And if for those people who have not seen the action there, you can go to our website, radiofreepalmer.org, and click on the link and peruse the video, looking here and there and everywhere. But there were a couple of big events. I want to mention initially, though, that there were a large group of students who were there, and they spoke persuasively in Japanese because they were part of the delegation that's going to Japan. For those listeners who are not aware, there's been a long history of student exchange between Japan, the Saroma area, and the Valley. And this is continuing with middle school and high school students going. And Carla Williams, who was the lead on this, brought the students in, and they spoke to the city council. And I think they were impressive. I think they were very impressive in both their enthusiasm and their command of the language to this point, and looking forward to hearing the report once they go, as they do in the summer, and then come back.
Yeah, I listened to just the very beginning of the video, Mike, because I did miss the meeting, and I know we're going to talk about the plastic bag ordinance in a minute. But yeah, it did seem like they made a nice showing, and I encourage people to rewatch it. These are kids that are getting the experience of their lives, being able to use something that actually they'll use all their lives. So.
Yeah. So since you have brought up the plastic bag ordinance, let's talk a little bit about that. Because there was a public hearing, this for listeners who are not following this, 3 weeks ago, 3 weeks previous, there had been an introduction of the ordinance, and there's a lot of materials that had been provided to the council and are available. If you go to the City of Palmer website, you can see what those materials were. There were letters, et cetera, et cetera. More was sent to the council for this most recent meeting. The council formally had the public hearing. Both meetings, the previous one and this one, had a lot of people speaking. Everyone who spoke in favor of the ban.
What it sounds like.
And more interestingly, as they reviewed the variety of groups, and we're talking about individuals, we're talking about business people, we're talking also about references to communication from the Palmer Chamber of Commerce and business associations that were also in support of the ban. So when you listen to this over, and by the way, the presentations were articulate and diverse. They were not They were not a repetition. They were not the same words being spoken. There was one lady I was particularly impressed with who had recently returned from Maui, and she apparently had been to Maui previously, and she said, being in Maui and reminding people that the island of Maui is plastic bag banned in a similar fashion to the ban proposed here. And it was a pleasure to be there and not have plastic bags all over the place. And in fact, I think her reference was to the entire state of Hawaii moving in that direction as well. So there are many other places around the country that have already done this. And, of course, the Wasilla plastic ban takes effect in about a month and in a few days on the 1st of July. So you would think it would be – go ahead.
We should probably just interject here that we kind of generally say plastic bags, but what it's banning is single-use plastic bags, which is normally what big box stores give out. Some merchants also give them out, but they're single-use ones, not the ones you put your produce in.
Or oh, yes, right. Yeah, that's an important clarification.
Or right. Your trash bags, or because I know there's been some misinformation and overreaction on that. I just wanted to put that in.
And the exact detail of that we're going to be covering on Friday, I believe. We have an opportunity to interview people from the city, and we'll be making sure that we have the detail, because there are some plastic bags, obviously plastic, larger and thicker plastic bags that are used. This is a start in that direction. And as you probably are aware, and some other listeners are aware, Alaska Airlines has recently said that they're eliminating plastic straws, and they talked about the number that they gave out, the tens of millions of straws a year, and so on. So in any case...
Well, if you've been on Alaska Airlines flight, which is, you know, our state, almost everybody flies Alaska Airlines if they go outside at some point of living in Alaska. They've recycled for a long time on the flight. So
right.
When they come and pick up your stuff, even the straws and stuff, they take things apart and get the plastic in one and or the recyclables in one and the garbage in the other. So they've been very much leaders in that aspect. So bravo, Alaska Airlines.
So once the public hearing had finished, of course, the council turned to discussion and voting. And the listeners who have already been made aware know that there was one missing person, or one empty seat, rather, in this, that Brad Hansen, a former council member, had resigned to take employment with the city, and council member Best was absent. So there were five people there, and the ultimate vote was 4-1, with council member Steve Carrington voting against banning. And as best I think he expressed it, he preferred to have a vote to make this happen.
I listened a little bit to that part of the video, Mike, because it seems like such a easy question, since everything was in support of it. And it's not a new topic. The city has been, it's been talked about a lot since the city of Wasilla went ahead and passed their thing. So it's not an unknown out of the sky thing, and it did have a public process, even though there are always some people that want a bigger public process. And it sounded like what Carrington was uncomfortable with is he hadn't heard from any naysayers, that he was only hearing positive support. He didn't think he had heard from the community, and he thought it should go to a ballot initiative. Well, that sounds okay to some people, but, you know, there are costs involved in ballot measures. And I think the rest of the council, although I think the mayor may have struggled on it herself, said there's no reason for that. We've heard from the public. There has been a public process. We shouldn't waste time on something that's so clearly supported. The chamber supported it, you know, which has about under 300 members. The downtown association, which are going to be affected by it. Truly, and all the businesses, they all supported it. So at the end of the day, I'm not sure why he stuck with his vote like that, other than the fact that he really felt strongly it should be a ballot initiative, because, you know, that's kind of a similar path they took when they initially did not pass this smoke-free workplace bill on the council. I don't know that he was a sitting council person at that point, but the argument was it should go to the voters. So, you know, and signatures had to be collected, money was spent to do that, and that the outcome was exactly what would have happened had they gone with the public testimony. I'm very much in support of a smoke-free workplace bill. And I think that experience alone taught some people that, you know, when the public is so supportive and turns out so strongly for something, and the opportunity of the public process has been given by their code for other people to come forward and give a logical reason why not, and when business is supporting it, it's a pretty easy decision. So I'll be interested if and when you interview Mr. Carrington, who I think also is up for re-election this year. Is that right, Mike?
I could not guarantee that, but I believe that's so.
Yeah. What if he had more than what was more opposition than was documented that he spoke about at the council meeting?
Well, it did pass, and it will go into effect on the 1st of January. There's always a delay time to make that happen.
And about that delay, Mike, Wasilla, I wanted to ask if you knew. The city of Wasilla, of course, have already passed it several months ago, and they're going in July 1st. They'll be effective. Does Palmer's mirror theirs? Are there any differences that anybody spoke about?
I believe that they are very similar, and that and again I will defer answering definitively until I have the manager in and have him speak about the specifics. But I believe it's very close. In fact, there was some. I think Mr. Carrington, in particular, alluded to. That just because Wasilla had done this, that didn't mean Palmer needed to do it. And I think there might have been a sense underlying this whole process of, well, Wasilla had done this whole thing. If we this is my thinking about it only, if we were to take it whole cloth and just do this, then we're sort of just copying and following Wasilla rather than creating our own. But I think ultimately it's going to be proven to be very, very similar in operation and design.
And the listeners should know that it's not a borough thing. The borough hasn't acted on it. So there are going to be merchants. The cities only cover, you know, a few miles, actually, in reality at the borough. So the borough has not enacted this. It would, I think that particular proposal on the borough's side is pretty dead now, unless they've kicked it to a meeting so far down the road. But
well, how about the state? How about doing it statewide?
So there was a bill this year. Actually, Representative Josephson brought a bill forward putting a 20-cent tax on a fee on plastic bags, and it got lots of love in hearings. It seemed like on the House side. That died at the end of the session. So perhaps next year we're going to have a lot of new legislators, and maybe there will be some. I kind of see that being the next step, just again, so that it's not non-compliant some places and compliant other places. And Palmer may not be the last one to do a local ordinance. It's significant to me that the Valley has done this quicker than. City of Anchorage has.
Right.
But the city of Anchorage oftentimes likes to wait for the state to do it. So they don't have to be bad guys. So it could be that maybe the city will come forward and do it, or perhaps the state will. So we'll just see. For now, we'll take what we can get. I think this is a good one.
And we want to, in the few minutes we have left, remind listeners that we mentioned earlier Council Member Brad Hansen had resigned. He's taken the job as Economic Development Director with the city. And the council did discuss this process where there would be a two-week opening period where people can contact the city clerk and make application to be appointed to his seat for the remaining part of the seat until the October election.
And yeah, so I have the specifics on that, Mike. So why don't we do the specifics on that? The October 2nd is the next regular election.
Right.
This person would fill a vacancy until then. And the deadline for applications, which are on the website, is no later than 4:30 on Friday, June 8th. So about a week and a little over a week away.
Right.
And then the council will interview and make an appointment at the June 12th city council meeting.
And the person will actually not, so the person will actually, I think, not take the position, though.
Well, it says if someone is appointed, that the applicant may take office on June 12th, or the council may delay appointment at their discretion.
Right. So it's it's going to be about a month minimum, roughly.
Right.
Or, well, or 3 weeks and change, or... And it in part depends upon the number of people, because they did discuss that. If there if there's one person and that person is qualified, that might make it easy if two people. But if it's 16 people, then that's another story. They'll have to do their interviews. So.
And the borough did this a couple of years ago when they had a vacancy, and it is a bit of a slow process. But if all goes well, we could have somebody seated in June, or it may go over a little bit further. And they also will have a deadline coming up, and I don't have that in front of us, but I know that both they and the borough will have a deadline coming up for what ballot measures they want to put on in front of voters. And I think there is actually an upcoming borough assembly meeting that's going to talk about that in specifically on June 12th. June 12th, same thing.
Yep.
They're going to be so June 12th is going to be a busy night, Mike.
Yeah. Okay, we have about a minute left. Any last comment you'd like to make and share with citizens?
I would like to say that it's great to see the sunshine, but I want to warn people that it is dry, dry, dry out there. And please be careful with open burning. That is, the burn permits are, I just happened to see the city of Palmer website here, and they talk about a burn permit required April 1st till March next year. But please be diligent about getting your permit and being careful about that. And things get out of hand in a hurry. And have everybody that's out there this weekend to be careful. It's Memorial Day. That's when accidents happen. So be careful out there, but have a good holiday.
All right. Well, thank you, Citizen Lobbyist, for calling in. Have a good day and a good holiday weekend.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Citizen Lobbyist, broadcast on Thursdays at 8 a.m. and repeated at 5 p.m. on Big Cabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska. You can find the podcast at radiofreepalmer.org. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, this station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.